Welcome to the George Mossy Show. We're going to be discussing some MILF Manor and Love in Paradise tonight. So, Dee Dee will join us. I really do hope Cara will too. She had to work late, but she might actually join us later on tonight. So, fingers crossed, I'll have both of my girls here tonight with us. But we're going to get started. We're going to talk about some MILF Manor, Love in Paradise chat. And, you know, just kind of get everybody's opinion on the show, you know, what was going on the episode and how people feel about, oh, and there's some tea we got here. So let's get Dee Dee in here. This is not our regular night, guys. So I know a lot of people are going to be like, why are y'all live tonight? We're like a day off from our lives. So that's why we're a day off.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's very, very hot here, like usual. What's your weather? Oh, we got some thunderstorms today. So I felt like I was in Georgia today because I know you get a lot of thunderstorms. So.
No thunderstorms today, but it got up to 98.
Really? It was like 96 here today. So y'all were hotter than us, interestingly enough. So. Gross. gross. It's so hot. It's like hard to function. I'm like really, really, I'm trying to survive and try to understand why it ever needs to be this hot, right? Like what's going on? I thought it was global warming. Wait, this is global warming, right? It's too hot. That's what I mean. No, you know what? I got that wrong. It is global warming because it's too hot. That's the whole point of it, right? So it's our fault, right? It's our fault for what we did to the planet. So I want to, I think Cara won't be here, right? I don't think she'll be here tonight.
I don't think so.
So we're going to talk about MILF Manor, and then we're going to do some Love in Paradise talk. So we saw the two new guys arrive at the manor, well, at the beach, I guess, is where they arrived. And they're not father and son, so I want to get your reaction on that. Because, you know, MILF Manor has a very specific dynamic. It's MILFs and then either the sons of the MILFs, hey, or the sons of the dads for season two. So now we have a father, or no, we have an uncle and a nephew. And a lot of the guys in the house feel like that's not fair. How do you feel about that? Because I mean, some people feel like you can act specific around your uncle and you can be yourself more so around your uncle than you can around your dad. How do you feel about that? Do you feel the same way? I mean, I never felt super comfortable around my uncles. You know, I wouldn't get drunk and act my true self around my uncle. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with the guys because if it is MILF Manor and it's only fathers and sons, why did they bring a uncle and a nephew? I mean, I get that he said that he's always thought of him as a dad, but that's not his dad. So, no, it's not right. Fair to the other guys that are there.
And also, why are they there? Because remember, we thought that Jacob was going to leave. He said that he didn't like the idea of competing for, you know, a woman's affection. So he was going to leave. Then he woke up the next morning and he's like, no, I'm gonna stick with it. So why are there two new guys there? What was the point of that? We didn't lose anyone. So I'm really confused. Like, I feel like the rules are getting more and more blurred as we go through the season. Like, there's not a lot of real rules here. It's like everything is just happening as they, what do you call it, make it up as you go, make up the rules as the season goes on, because I don't really know what we're doing anymore. I mean, I like the show, you know, but I do like shows that kind of stick with a guideline of what's going on so we can follow
usually
on.
Usually when they bring in, like, extra people, somebody's fixing the lead. It could be Jacob is still gonna leave because, you know, now he's seen Barbie and what's that guy's name? Chris? Is his name?
Chris. Yeah.
Chris kissing in the hot tub, and now he's mad because Barbie is all he wanted was a hug on the beach, and then Barbie said, no, let's kiss it out.
And then he felt like since they kissed it out that they were going steady, right? Like she's mm-hmm. not allowed to entertain other people, and it's like it's a game show, you know. I don't think they win any money at the end, but I mean it's still a game show. It's a competition, so you want to beat out whoever is competing against you. And it feels like the women are more so open to opportunity, you know, which I feel like none of the women have really locked in on one guy. They're kind of like playing the field, which I think is smart, you know, and I think that the guys want them to just be locked in. The guys are like, I want this person to just be speaking to me and just be worried about me. And, you know, I think that the women are keeping an open mind, and it's making the younger guys uneasy and not confident. It's funny because a lot of people say that the younger generation are the ones that don't know how to commit. But the younger guys are the ones that are kind of crying and mad that they can't get the women to commit to just them. So it's like, maybe we misjudge the younger generation. Maybe the younger generation isn't as bad off as we thought they were, right? Like, I feel like they're a little more old-fashioned than the MILFs, right?
I mean, it's like that with all generations, to be honest with you. But I mean, they're on a dating program, like a TLC, like the MILF Manor. I don't understand why they're just going after one person and one person only. That's why there's multiple women and multiple men there. I mean, if I was on something like that, I wouldn't, just because one guy looked nice to me, that doesn't mean I'm just going to directly go after him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Never judge a book by its cover. I mean,
yeah.
Taste the rainbow, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. I think that when you're trying to date, you should try all of the dishes. I look at it like a Thanksgiving dinner, right? You try all the stuff on the table. You try everything. Yeah. You don't know what you like, right? You try all the dishes on the table until you find the thing you like. I found that I personally like ham over turkey, right? Like, everybody has Thanksgiving turkey. I like to cook ham. So, like, you got to try everything on the table to see what you actually like. I feel like the women are playing the game, right? The boys are trying to get women to lock in, you know, 2 and 3 days in, and I think that's crazy. You know, you got to give yourself the opportunity to get to know people. That kind of shows that the people from the first season, none of them ever stay together. And I think that's why they don't really see, you know, Kelly thought she was going to be with Jose. Remember Jose? He was the guy from season one that all the women were trying to get.
Yeah.
And nobody really knew what he wanted. He played the game really well. He told every single woman in the house how beautiful she was, how beautiful her eyes were, how much he loved their connection. And then on the last episode, they were all heartbroken because he picked Kelly. Remember that? Like, none of the women knew what he's the definition of a playboy, right? Like, every single woman in the house, remember they wrote a letter? They all wrote him a letter because they all wanted to be with Jose, and Jose wanted to be with none of them. And at the end of that, he picked Kelly, and he still isn't with Kelly. Kelly is still on the show looking for somebody, so.
There you go. I mean, just because you end up with them at the end of the show does not mean it's going to work out. So
I wanted to talk about the double date with Connor and David and Kelly and Christina, right? Because things got a little heated, you know, kind of Cinemax heated, right? I think Christina wanted to, so they brought these dice, and the dice, you have to, it's a body part, and then there's like something that you do. Hi, Jay. And if things got a lot of like Cinemax heated, right? Because they're at a dinner table and Christina's sucking on someone's leg, which from the camera angle looks like a different situation, right? And it's like, I don't know. It was a lot for me, right? I felt like Christina really showed a different side of her. I thought she was a lot more, I don't want to use the word classy because I'm not trying to dog her. But that was a lot for somebody you just met, right? Like, Didi, are you going to be sucking on somebody you just met?
There is no way possible. No way possible. No way in hell am I going to do that. No. No. Uh-uh. Screw that game. I'm not playing that. Uh-uh.
I mean, I've played the dice game in my life. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but with someone you met 5 minutes earlier?
No, this was with people that I've known.
Okay. Like, I mean, it's different when you're playing with it with somebody that you've known for a long time. Yeah, but someone you just met like 5 minutes earlier, you're going to be sucking or licking the side or something? I mean, come on, no.
Younger, though. Like, you know, when you're younger, you're much, much more stupid. Like, I was younger. This was like in my, probably, I don't even think I was in my 20s yet, you know, doing that type of stuff. But it was with people that I went to school with or worked with, you know, people that I knew. I wasn't just like you know, trying to get an STD. You know, like, I knew who these people were, you know. I wasn't, like, out here being a hoe. You know, I wasn't being a hoe. Like, I'm not saying that I would just be licking on people that I just met. You know me, though, Didi. When I'm out, if somebody drinks out of a drink, I don't even want to drink after the person, even if I know the person, like, because I'm, like, a germaphobe. So, you know, I'm not going to be out there licking on people. That's just not me as a person. I'm not
disgusting.
It's... Even if I like the person, I'm probably not going to be licking on the person. I'm weirded out by germs and filth and all of that stuff. So yeah, we're going to be watching MILF Manor again. I don't know what's going on. There's another set of new people. Nobody left. We do know that Jamie left because Jamie had a boyfriend at home. They did not replace Jamie with another MILF. In turn, they
not yet anyway.
Well, right. Not yet. We don't know if they're going to replace her with another MILF, but they did bring Connor and David. Connor, who's a fitness nutritionist and coach. Is it me? Or is every guy in his 20s a fitness nutrition and coach? Like, is that like the new thing now? Have you been watching like Love in Paradise or 90 Day Fiancé? If there's a guy, he's in his 20s and he looks like he works out, he's a fitness and nutrition coach. Like, are there a shortage of jobs outside of nutrition and fitness coaches for younger guys? Like, I'm really getting confused. And do people really make a living just working out and posting videos of them working out on Instagram? Like, can you make enough money doing that? I'm just curious. Because every time we do that.
If you can't, George, man, you need to start doing that.
I ain't in no shape to be doing. Nobody's going to pay me to tell them how to work out. Like, that's probably something that's out of my realm of opportunity. Like, I ain't even gonna sit up here and lie to y'all. Like, I am not in the shape of these guys that go to the gym 7-8 times a week. They see, if they can turn it into a job, though, good for them. I don't have the drive in me to drive to a gym 7 days a week. I just can't do it. Maybe to a Burger King, but like not a gym. Like, I just can't make myself do it. I wish. I would love the progress that it would bring me, but no, it's just not in me. I can't do it. But I just thought it was interesting because his uncle is an oil and gas entrepreneur, so money, basically. So we got a private jet salesman and an oil and gas entrepreneur. So there's a good pool.
A restaurant owner.
Oh, yeah, that's right, and a restaurant owner. And I think he owns a restaurant in, like, Jersey, right, which is pizza in Jersey. In New York, you're going to be making a lot of money. Everybody wants that pizza. Every time I go to New York, I got to have some original New York or New Jersey pizza. So that's definitely a nice pickings for the MILFs. It's interesting because the younger guys don't really seem to have much going on at all. I think one of the guys said that he was just taking a year off from school and not doing anything. Like, and I think Joey is an event promoter. Like, he passes out papers for clubs. Like, the younger guys, it's really interesting when you look at the age difference in the maturity in men. Like, the men, they just don't do much when they're younger. And then, I mean, but you could say the same about women too. Sometimes you meet a girl in her 20s, you know, it's very different when you meet that same girl in her 30s. You know, she has so much more maturity and she has so much more going on. And it's like, when you're young, I don't want to toot my own horn though, but like, when I was in my 20s, I was managing a gas station. I drove a brand new truck. Like, I had my own place. Like, I really feel like the drive isn't there sometimes with the younger generation. You feel like that? Like, I had so much more to my name, you know, than a lot of these kids today.
I think when you're younger, you don't really think about your future. You think about the present, the moment. You don't really think about the future.
Well, right. Because that's what old people think about. Like, I know when I was younger, my thinking of people my age now, those were old people, and I didn't relate to them at all. You know, I was just like, I don't relate to them. Those people are old. And now that I'm the age that I thought was old, now the person that I used to be, I have no recollection of who that is. I don't relate to that person at all. I was just absent-minded and ignorant. So now that I see what life is really about, you know, it's like, oh man, I was really out of touch with reality. You know, in my 20s, I was really out of touch with reality.
Oh yeah.
Coco, what are you talking about? What is that? I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't start working until I was 26, 27. Really? Lucky. I was working at 15, like really. So Jay Quincy says she wasn't working until 26, 27. So that means that you really
When I was 12, I started working in the field. So
yeah, it's interesting because the way that we're brought up, it depends on, you know, where you live and how you're brought up, how your life, what time in space your life started, right? Like for some people, like you at 12 years old, that's kind of where you started taking on responsibility. I was like 15, you know. Okay, so not to age myself, but my mom wouldn't pay for my cell phone when I was 15, and she wouldn't pay for, I went to private school, she wouldn't pay for my lunch. So I didn't want to bring lunch because they made fun of kids that brought lunch. So I had to get a job because I needed a cell phone because everybody else had a cell phone and I didn't. And I needed to buy food at school because everybody that was cool bought food at school. So I kind of had to do that because my mom was like, that's not a necessity. You know, she put me in private school my whole life. I never attended one day of public school my whole life. So she was like, I've sacrificed enough. You know, you don't need a cell phone. What you need to do is get straight A's. So I had to like start early. So by the time I was like 17 or 18, I had a car. I had like 10, 20 grand in the bank because I didn't have a lot of money I didn't have a lot of time to spend on things. I was in school and I was working all the time. So I didn't have like time to spend much money. So I had like a lot more money than the kids my age. Anyway, we're getting off subject. So I want to talk about Love in Paradise because we were watching the subject with Alex and Adriano and his mom's partner, because that wasn't his dad. His dad passed away. And Alex is worried that a man who doesn't believe in God wouldn't know how to love. So I wanted to talk to you about that statement. How do you feel about that? Because, you know, I used to be a part of a religious cult, Seventh-day Adventist cult, and we were taught that anybody that wasn't a part of that cult, you know, they weren't going to heaven, you know, we weren't even allowed to associate with him. So I'm obviously not a part of that anymore. But like, how do you feel about religion and how important is religion when it comes to finding someone to date? Is it a must for you, or is that not necessarily something that they have to have in their life?
No, I mean, religion is a real touchy subject with a lot of people because there's so many religions out there. Right. I think no matter what religion you are, as long as you respect each other and you respect each other's religion and you find like a medium ground, it doesn't matter what religion they are. As long as you love each other, it shouldn't matter at all. And I feel like she's trying to push her religion on him, and that's the worst thing that you can do, is push any kind of religion on anybody. You know, if you want them to willingly go over to whatever religion it is that you follow or you do, live by that religion, and then that's how you get them to come over. But I mean, the worst thing you can do is force somebody into a religion if they're not comfortable with it.
What's interesting is that Adriano told her that he used to go to church with his mom regularly. And she's a Catholic, is what we've heard. And he doesn't go. And it rang true with me because, you know, I used to go to church more than regularly. We went to church 6 times a week. And, you know, now I don't. And what I think one of the reasons why, because after I left the cult, I was very open to religion. I did go to church after that, just not the same religion. But one thing that turned me off with religion a lot altogether was Alex. People that acted like her, who felt like I had to be a part of what she was. I had to believe what she believed. And if not, I was less than a human being. You know, I was not functioning as a real person until I believed what they believe. And I feel like what you said, you can't really force somebody to fully engage in a religion. You can ask them to be open to it, and you can, you know, give them the opportunity to experience it. But to say that somebody who doesn't believe in God can't learn to love another human being, I think is a crazy statement. That's like saying that a person who's never been to church could never love another living thing, because there's people that are atheists who have children who love their children unconditionally. There are people who don't believe in in any religion who are married who love their wife or husband unconditionally. Like, I think that that's such a stupid thing to say. Like, when she was like, well, the only way you would learn, you know, how to love or how to be a good husband is through the Bible. And I was like, that's not true. You know, there are people who, let's be real, who are witches, who love just as strong as a Christian. There are people who worship idols, like, let's be real, that love just as strong as a Christian. Like, I think love and religion are definitely separate entities, right? And I think that she reminded me so much of what I went through in the cult that I was in, because it's like tunnel vision. People only see the Bible, they only see religion, and they only see what they believe. And she said that she uses the Bible as a roadmap for her life, which a lot of people do. My mom does. I know a lot of people who use it as a roadmap, which is fine. You know, I use Google Maps every day to drive around where I live. So I totally understand having a roadmap, but the Bible is not necessarily a etched, set in stone map of how the world should work. Because let's be realistic, the Bible was written thousands of years ago. You know, we've evolved to the point where, you know, things have changed. You know, the way that things were done thousands of years ago are completely outdated. There's laws that literally have changed the way we think and the way we love, the way we marry, the way everything, our whole way of life has evolved. So I don't know. I think that she's not going to be able to get past the fact that he doesn't believe in God. And I think that what she's really pressing him for is like a reason why. And I think that's a very personal, that's a personal thing. Like, obviously he was raised in the church, but he doesn't have to tell her why he no longer feels that way, you know?
No, I mean, that needs to be between him and whatever, you know, spiritual realm he believes in or doesn't believe in. You know what I'm saying? You don't have the right, I don't care who you are, you don't have the right to ask someone, well, why don't you believe in my religion? Or why can't you do this? I think is what it is because of his threesomes, she's trying to, you know, convince him, well, if you just become a Christian, if you just believe in God, you won't want to do these threesomes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that to me, that is the worst thing possible, is to try to push a religion on someone, no matter what the religion is. They should want to openly do it themselves in their own time.
And Alex should be very careful forcing religion on Alex, because there's quite a few religions that encourage multiple partners, multiple wives. So she might actually be doing herself a counterproductive disservice by forcing religion onto Adriano, because what if he finds polygamy? You know, what if he finds the Mormon religion, one of the practicing ones where it says that you can have more than one wife? And then maybe he will be like, oh, no, yeah, I do believe in religion, but now I want three more wives. You know, like, maybe she should watch pushing that on him, because there is very, very, very large variety of religion out there for people to choose. And, you know, if you want to force something on someone, they say be careful what you wish for, right? Because she might wish for it, and he might find one that he lands on that says that he can have five wives, and she'll be the one that handed him the tool. She opened Pandora's box, right? Like, she's the one that said, hey, you should look into religion. And he's like, well, I did, so now I want four more wives. You know, like, she should be very careful with forcing, you know, something on him. And I think that in this situation, if she wants to be with a Christian, like, I say this all the time, because we watch a lot of times where Muslim men will find an American woman or a woman that is, you know, not a practicing Muslim, and they want to change them. And it's like, if you want someone that is of a specific religion or a specific background, look for somebody of that background. Don't go and find the person and then change the person. That's like a pet peeve of mine. Changing who someone is to better suit your needs is like a huge pet peeve of mine. Like, if you want to be with a Muslim,
and then trying to put his family, his mom and his stepdad on him, like, you know, against him. And then she wanted to know why they were, I didn't see where she said they were trying to attack her or gang up on her. I mean, say, no. I grew up with Hispanics, you know, all the Hispanics are Catholic. They believe in the Virgin Mary.
Very Catholic.
Okay.
Very Catholic.
I'm Christian. I believe in God. So they, I don't, just because I don't believe in some things that they believe in, or they don't believe in some things that I believe in, that doesn't mean that either one of us isn't better than the other, or either one of us isn't going to go to heaven. We don't know. We don't know what the true religion is. You know, all you can do is just live the best way you can each and every day, and you know, that's all you can do. Because there's
I've
so
come
many
to,
religions out there.
well, I've come to realize that you can live just being a decent human being and loving and treating people the way that you would intend others to treat your children or your mother. That's religion. You know, like I think, because the Bible will give you a guide on how to live, but it's basically just being a decent human being. That's all the
Yeah.
Bible is really instilling in you is, you know, treat others the way you would want to be treated. You know, love unconditionally, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't kill. Like it's very basic, you know, being a decent human being. And you don't really need the Bible to learn how to be a decent human being. You can learn how to be a decent human being just living a decent life, you know, and treating people with respect. And also, I want to talk about Luke and this, and Madeline's issue with the prenup, because we've been talking prenup. Prenup has been coming up a lot lately in our podcast. And he wants to sign a prenup because he's under the impression that since the last thing that he has to his name is this apartment, he's worried, you know, that she's 19 years old. It's very possible that a 19-year-old could change her mind. You know, she might want to marry Luke now, but let's say when she's 24, she doesn't want to deal with Luke anymore. She wants to deal with somebody else. She has a change in who she is. You know, we've seen that with Aaliyah. People can change literally who they are. So he wants to sign a prenup to make sure that whatever he had prior, which it's only one thing, it's this apartment. That's the last investment that he has. Everything else is gone. And she feels like it's a direct hit of in him not trusting her. And, you know, I agree with her to an extent. You know, she has definitely been the receiver of a lot of things of Luke's
I
since.
know George, me and you are not gonna see eye to eye. You know how I feel
I
about
know,
prenup.
it's okay, it's okay. I know how you feel about prenups. I know you want to sign them like you have your morning coffee. I know, but I just feel like she's a 19-year-old girl. Oh, and there's a little bit of stuff that's been going around the internet, so I'm gonna jump into that real quick before we get into it. Because, oh, Jayquezza, you already know what we're getting into. So we read online that this is allegedly, I don't know Medellin at all, I don't know her, but we read that she was working as an escort. And there is a photo that is surfaced online of Luke, who's 30 years old now, was with Medellin a couple of years ago, which would have made her between 16 and 17. So meaning he was involved with her, you know, before she turned 18, which people are, you know, people feel a certain way about that. They were like, you know, we don't really necessarily want to see grown adult men going over to other countries, you know, and dating women that aren't old enough to be in a relationship. So, how do you feel about that? And again, this is alleged. You know, I have seen the picture of them. I think it was from 2022. They were together, so they were clearly in a relationship at that time. So she's 19 now, and she had just turned 19 at filming. So, how do you feel about the whole situation? Because there's a lot of questions, right?
Well, for one, I am in agreement with his friend. If she got mad when he asked for the prenup, then she's just in it for the money. I mean, okay, look how she is living it over there. What part of her does not make you think that she's not in it for the money?
Oh, no.
She has
I
a luxury
definitely.
apartment. She has a luxury car. She spends the money left and right. She gets her hair done. She gets her nails done. She opened up a business. I mean, she's only in it for the money. So yeah, he needs to get a prenup signed. And just by her getting mad, that furthermore tells him and everybody else watching, she is just in it for the money.
I don't disagree. I feel like if Luke never, if Luke approached her as a man with not a lot of money, she would have never responded to whatever, the DM, the message, the text, whatever. I know that she dated Luke because of what he could offer. And I don't know if she's sticking around because maybe she thinks he's going to get back on his feet. You know, I don't know the situation because I thought in my mind when he told her that he had lost his job and things weren't going as well as they were before, that she was going to dump him right then and there. That was just my first thought, because let's be realistic. If allegedly she was working as an escort, she might have somebody else who could provide for her, right? Because let's just say, allegedly, Luke isn't the only one providing this lifestyle for her. Like, let's say she has different streams.
She's a Jasmine Junior.
That is actually what people are saying online. So interesting. Yeah, people are saying that she is Jasmine's, you know, little, what do you call it? Protege of Jasmine. You know, she boobs and all, boob job and all, right? A lot of people feel like she has definitely taken Luke for all he was worth. And I blame Luke more so than I blame her, because he was doing this. He didn't have to do that. If you want to build a relationship with someone, don't spend $10,000 here, $20,000 here, $30,000 here trying to get that person to fall in love with you, because they're not falling in love with you.
I think that she probably thinks he's lying about being broke. And by him asking for the prenup, probably makes her think even more now that he's lying about the money, or not having money, not being financially stable. That's the main reason why he's asking for the prenup. I wouldn't care if I have $5 in my name. We signed a prenup. I don't care. That's my $5. I'll work for it. Not you.
See, I definitely think that, because he said it too, I don't think that you fathom what it means or how dire my financial situation is. And I think that she doesn't, but you made a good point. Him saying that he spent $10,000 on sunglasses and him saying, oh, I want to sign a prenup, it's making it seem like he does have money that she doesn't know about, or money that he wants to keep from her. So it is very interesting that you said that, because I do think that, you know, do you have a friend? Like, I'm that friend though. Like, I'm that person. When I say I'm broke, I'm not really broke. Like, I have money, but I say I'm broke. Like,
for you. I ain't broke for me. I'm broke for you.
That is the exact definition that I mean. Like, when someone's like, hey, can I borrow $100? I'm like, oh, no, I'm broke. I have $100. I have $5,000. But I don't have any money to start a charity, right? Like, I don't have
money. I got money for you. I got money for me.
And I think that that's kind of what Madeline has in her mind. Luke says he's broke, but he's got thousands and thousands of dollars still. Kind of like Gino. Gino quit his job, but Gino was not broke. Gino had money set aside. And I think she is under the impression that he's like, oh, I lost my job. And she's like, oh, cool. That doesn't mean that you're not rich, you know, because he did live a lifestyle that would make it seem as though he wouldn't go broke within a couple of months, the way he was spending money. $10,000 here, $20,000 here, $30,000 here. You know, he was just spending money like it was going out of style. So when you tell someone who's experienced that, kind of like what we saw with Bilal and Chyna. Remember when Bilal went over to Trinidad and he was living this lifestyle around Chyna, and, you know, he had the audacity to be like, oh, when you get to Kansas City, you know, I'm broke. And she's like, you're not broke. She was like, I know the lifestyle that you show. And he wasn't broke. And she was smart enough to know that because of the way that he lived. And I think that Madeline is a little confused, because it's difficult to perceive someone that you've always known as being wealthy to be broke. It's difficult, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that we've seen too, like with the 90 Day Fiancé. People go over to another country, acting like they have all this money. They get with someone, whether it's a man or a woman, and then they bring them over here and they're like, oh, well, I'm broke. I don't got no money. Or they rent these lavish hotels and have these, you know, like living a lifestyle in the other person's country. And then they come over here and they live like in a one bedroom studio cockroach apartment. I mean, come on.
It's a catfish. They catfish people, and they, and I don't want to say they lure them over here, but they kind of do. They lure them over to the U.S. Gino did it to Jasmine. You know, he had her in a $3,000 a month apartment, and he had her living her best life with the best weave, the best nails, the best hair. And then when she got to Canton, Michigan, she was slumming it, right? Like, she, there was not very much that he was doing for her. He was not, he got her a gym membership. And that's about it, right? Like, that was about it. He didn't really, he didn't
that's treat it. Her this way.
And, you know, I think that it's so unfair because they, the women in this situation, they feel that they're moving into a situation that's going to be a financial gain to them. And they're actually experiencing poverty. They're leaving because I looked at it like that, because Jasmine wasn't in poverty when she was in Panama. She was living pretty well. She's basically living in Panama in poverty now in Canton, which is crazy. But, and then she had to leave her kids to do it. Hi, Cricket. How are you? Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. Oh, I want to talk about Sean's engagement to Aaliyah, because apparently Anita, who is like the Brazilian Beyonce, I've actually seen Anita perform on one of the award shows. Very, very talented, very beautiful. So I was very impressed, you know, because I had to look at it as, this is as though I got Beyonce to help me, you know, propose to someone. That's a massive deal, right? Like, Anita's a massive deal over in Brazil and other countries over there. So it was pretty crazy. But I think what really surprised me was Sean decided that he's going to move past, you know, her transition, and he's going to accept her as Aaliyah instead of Douglas, which is kind of surprising to me, because he really seemed like he was struggling accepting that he was dating someone new, because he was like, I'm having to bury, you know, and end a relationship and start a new one. But he did ask to marry her, and we did meet Aaliyah's mother and her brother, and we found out a lot about her upbringing, which, you know, her mom was forced to move far away to work, and she was raised by her grandparents. And there's a lot of, even her mom said there was a lot of sadness and letdown in her upbringing. So I feel like the person that she's turning into is definitely her coming out of her shell, because she's very happy, outgoing, bright, vibrant as Aaliyah. And, you know, we don't know her as Douglas, but from what we were told about Douglas, that was the opposite of who she is now. So I feel like who she is in her upbringing, it makes sense as to why she wants to become Aaliyah. I totally understand that. I just don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. Like, I'm still skeptical on whether or not they're going to be able to make it work. Hi, Eileen. Hey, we're a day late. So everybody thinks that we're not going live today. It's my fault because I forgot to post it. So yeah, we're like a day late. We're usually live on yesterday. So yeah, I just think I'm really skeptical, you know, on whether or not they're going to make it work, because Sean, who clearly has dated women, he was married to a woman in the past, but then he said after that he's strictly dated men, and he's 61 years old. That seems like a conscious choice, right? To date men. So the fact that he's now dating a woman, and not just any woman, we're talking Aaliyah, who is very vibrant, who is very in your face, you know, a flamboyant woman. You know, like, she's definitely taken on the role of a woman really well. And I'm just wondering how is he going to adapt to that, right? Like, because that's like asking a gay man who dates men to date a woman. You just don't do that. That's just not what they're attracted to. That's not who they are. So I just don't know how it's going to work.
Me neither. This is a tricky relationship, but it was really, really sweet. It was really romantic how you know, he proposed to her. So I hope they do work out, because they're actually my favorite couple.
Really?
On the season.
Hey,
yeah,
I like them. I just don't know how compatible they are. You know, I'm very skeptical. I need to see more. I like that he took the time to do a very personal proposal, and like you said, it was beautiful. It shows a lot, you know, when some people, I've been to the airport and I'll see somebody do a proposal in the airport just because the person's about to leave, or somebody will go to Red Lobster and they'll do it. And I'm like, be more thoughtful, you know, like, do something from the heart. Like, that's what he did. And it was really nice. And he had her family there, and her mom and her brother, everybody was there. I thought it was a really nice situation. It was her birthday party, but he made it a more memorable experience. So, fingers crossed, we're going to get to see them actually make it down the aisle. I'm skeptical, but I want to get into Kyle and Annie, because he's taken an STD test, right? Like, he's been naturally inseminating women, and not telling Annie. He did come clean and told her that he inseminated one woman in Australia, but there are other women. There's a woman in the UK. There's a woman, no, Jay Queasy, yes, in Red Lobster. I've seen it with my own eyes. Yes, Red Lobster of all places. And he wants to come clean to Annie and tell her that he has been inseminating women naturally, but he doesn't want her to worry because he's gonna take the AIDS and STD test and show that he's being safe. Now, Didi, I'm not a rocket scientist here, but I'm pretty sure the issue is not whether or not he's being safe. It's that he's doing it in the first place, right? So, like, what is bringing the test gonna, how is that gonna make her feel better about the idea that she's in a relationship with a man who's raw dogging women behind her back, right? Like, and the only thing that makes it better is he's clean. He doesn't have an STD. Like, am I missing something? Like, what's going on?
I have no idea. How is he saying that he's going to, just by taking the STD test, he's going to prove to her that he's being safe? I mean, the most beautiful woman or the most handsome man, cleanest person you can ever lay your eyes on, can have full-blown AIDS or something else. You know what I'm saying? Never judge a book by its cover. But I think is what it is he's trying to make her feel like, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to continue getting these women pregnant, but I won't, you know, by showing you this, it should show you that I don't pick just anybody, that I'm real clean. Well, if we go back and we read all this stuff on social media that he has done, that the text messages and stuff, he looks for the women that are desperate, that nobody actually, from what I've seen on social media, okay, nobody wants to be with him. That's why they reach out to him. They desperately want a child, and then he dogs them through text messages, saying they're fat, ugly, they stink, he had to cover up their face or something. You know, like, why would you do that? Why would you body shame a woman? Or why would you body shame anybody at that matter?
Well, somebody that's in a vulnerable position like this also, because sometimes these women are lesbian. They don't like men at all. So you have to be in a very vulnerable or desperate situation to even consider doing something like this. You are literally at your last option, your last resort. And then he takes advantage of them, and then he actually dogs them and talks crazy about them, makes them feel bad about the situation. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me that he thinks that he's going to prove to her that it's totally fine because he's clean. Like, what does it matter? Like, that's like saying, coming home to your wife or your husband or your partner and saying, yeah, I cheat on you all the time, but look, I don't have an STD, so it's totally fine. How does that make any of it fine? I'm almost convinced that Kyle is not operating with a full deck. Like, everything that he does makes me question, like, his mental stability. I'm not, like, the world that we live in, right? Like, the universe and reality that we live in, that you and I deal with every day, I'm not convinced that Kyle is a part of that. I feel like he does live somewhere. It's not where we live, like, mentally. Because the things that he does and the things that he says and the way that he says that Annie should react, because he's like, oh, well, she'll be totally fine and happy when she finds out that I'm clean. And I'm like, no, she's not. No woman is going to be happy when you come home and say, hey, I've been cheating on you a lot, but guess what? I don't have an STD, so everything is fine. No woman is going to be totally fine with that. But in his mind, he thinks that that's going to make it all better. And I'm convinced that he's not operating with a full deck. So it's like, I can't prove that, guys. I'm not a doctor. This is alleged, but I just can't imagine what would make a forward-thinking person believe that their actions are justified just because they can pass a sex
and STD test. And it's hard for me to really believe that he doesn't charge these women. So you mean to tell me he lives a free life? He travels the world for free?
No, there are post online, I guess he was on a different television show on Vice Network. He lives with his mom, and I believe is what I saw. He lives with his mom. He doesn't have his own place. And he asks for donations online. These are things that I've seen online. I can't prove any of it. These are just things that people have said. He said that he has a room in his mom's house is what he said on the other show. But I'm
the man don't work. He does not have a job, but he can fly all over the world getting these women pregnant.
He claims he's an accountant, and he said that that's a job you can do from anywhere. So I don't know what's true and what's not. A lot of people online are saying that the women are the ones that are paying for his travel. And he's saying, again, allegedly, he's saying that since he's not charging for his services, you know, then they're responsible for, like, his travel, his hotel, his meals. So it, from what I was hearing, allegedly, online, he's kind of using it as, like, a way to tour the world for free. Because his expenses are being paid by the women in exchange for his services that he's not charging for.
He is a disgusting human being. Like, seriously, he's disgusting. At this moment, and I cannot believe I'm listening to say this, but if I had to choose, like, to see anybody else on here, I would have to go back to Big Ed. That's how bad I feel about Luke.
So you
like, he is just, I mean, not Luke, Kyle. I'm sorry. I said Luke. I meant to say Kyle. I'm sorry.
So you would
like, I would rather see Big Ed.
Really?
Than see him.
Again.
Yeah.
So I wanna touch on this. Who said that? Coco said it. She said, isn't it interesting that we don't see one representation of his family on the show? Because you know how when people come on the show, we meet their family, their parents, somebody, some representation of a family or a friend. Kyle has not brought anyone onto the show. Like, Alex brought her cousin. Adriano's mom was on the show. Sean, so far, we haven't seen family. But in Aaliyah's situation, we've met Aaliyah's grandparents and her mother and brother. It's interesting. No one is family-wise or friend-wise is claiming Kyle. And I'm beginning to think that that's very telling, right? Nobody wanted to come on the show, you know, to be supporting.
They probably all embarrassed to be kin to him. I would, if I had someone like that in my family, I wouldn't want people to know I was kin to him. I would be embarrassed.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that his parents or family or friends, nobody is supporting what he's doing, and nobody wanted to be representative. Because, you know, every time someone goes on one of these shows, 98, doesn't matter what variation of the show, some representation of family is going to be on it. Like, we usually meet, usually from both sides, right? We usually meet somebody from both sides, whether it's a cousin, brother, sister, parent, uncle, somebody is there to vouch that this person is not a crazy person, right? Like, that's
either
usually
in person or through laptop, something. Somebody.
And it's interesting, yeah. we haven't gotten any representation from the family. Oh, so there's some stuff going around that Annie had a baby by Kyle. I know you've seen it online. You know, there was a pregnancy scare coming up on the season. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to come up in the next couple of episodes. And there's a picture of a baby, and they're saying it's Kyle's. Again, allegedly, we can't prove any of that. But do you think that it's true? Or would you be surprised? Or would you not be surprised if she did have a baby by him? Because remember, that's the reason why they met in the first place. She was looking for a donor, and that's how they met. And then they ended up supposedly being in a relationship. But let's not forget, the real interaction started with her looking for a donor.
I wouldn't be surprised if she had a baby with him. Because like I said, when we first started with this season, she's looking for a green card. And she knows if she stays with him, she has a child by him. And if she can get him to sign that birth certificate, she's set for life.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Coco said people supported Sarper. You're right. People showed up for Sarper and Shekinah's story. And he had friends and his parent. One of his parents were on the show, too, supporting this man's behavior. So you're right. Even a pig like Sarper could have somebody show up to support him. Nobody's showing up for Kyle, even online. Like, nobody is ever like, oh, that's my best friend, that's my cousin. No, we don't get any of that. People are just looking at him like there's something wrong. Eileen says, unless he's a really good actor, this character has to be made up. I was thinking that as well. It's almost too crazy to be a real life story. I was thinking that as well, but I really do believe that since only
he's been on Dr. Phil and he's been on a couple of more.
The only reason why I believe they didn't make it up, because he's been on multiple TV shows and the story has never changed. It's the exact same thing going on with this guy. And I don't, he said on Dr. Phil, his goal is to have over 1,000 children. That is his goal. And I can't imagine, I've never met anybody who said anything like that. Like, I've watched shows, like, you know, the polygamy shows where the men want to have like 10, 20, 30 kids. And I think that's unfathomable. 1,000 kids is unfathomable for me now. Like, that's just craziness to have that many children. Is it even legal to have that many children out there? Because it's not financially possible for you to support that many children. So, like, are there laws against how many kids you have? Like, now I'm beginning to wonder. Because
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Because
I don't know.
In the U.S., if you have a lot of kids and you don't support them, and the mom or the parent who has them goes on support from the city or the county or whatever, they look for you. Because, like, if you have, like, a bunch of kids and they're all on support from the city or the county will look for you to make you pay child support. So I know that, but that's in the
U.S. In the state of Georgia, if you don't pay child support or if you don't pay, like, towards their medical expenses and stuff like that, they will put you in jail for 5 years, suspend your license, and you can't even get out of jail until all of that's paid up to date.
See, now I'm beginning to wonder if what he's doing is legal. Because look at all of these displaced children. Because what if, God forbid, something happens and the mothers can't take care of those children? It's technically his 50% his responsibility to help take care of those children because he helped bring them here. So it's making me wonder.
Or what if something happens to the child and the mother isn't a fit? Say, for instance, like, the child needs to have surgery. What if the child has only his genes and not her genes?
And that's right.
It's happened. It does happen. You know, what if they can't find a donor? What if they need, you know, some kind of transplant or something? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, how are they even going to reach out to him? I'm pretty sure once he gets done with whatever it is he does, he blocks them.
Pineapple says technically he's not the child's dad. He's simply a donor. So does that mean, since, I guess, right, because he's not signing birth certificates, because when he goes to the country and he inseminates the woman, he leaves. You know, obviously there's a 9-month process before that child enters the world. So, but that's what makes me question it. Is it legal for you to do that, to go and not sign the birth certificate and leave that child with only one parent?
They've got to have some kind of paperwork not holding him responsible. I mean, because what if all these women come back and say, well, he raped me?
That's true.
Or the one that's
true. You're right. There needs to be some sort of document signed that it was consensual, and then that, and because wouldn't you have to sign away your rights? So what happens when a baby is born and no one ever signs the birth certificate? Does that mean that there's only one person legally responsible for that child, or do you still need to sign away your rights? How does that work?
I don't know.
I guess if he never signed the birth certificate, there's nothing linking him to that child. So I guess there were no rights to be delinquished, right? Like, I feel like this is, it's just really interesting. This whole story is interesting to me because I just feel like if there isn't laws against it, probably there should be of doing, like, imagine someone saying they want to have 1,000 children, which we can't tell people how many kids that they can have, but you should also only have enough children that you could financially support. But I guess as a donor, he's not financially responsible. So it's like, there's no, I don't know how to explain it. There's no jurisdiction over what he's doing. It's lawlessness, I guess. Like, he can do whatever he wants. There's no law that applies to what he's doing. Because, oh yeah, you're right, Eileen, sperm donors, they don't sign birth certificates. You're right, because if you go through an agency.
True, but, I mean, there's a legal way to go about it. Don't just pick some random man that off the streets and use him as a sperm donor. You don't know what, said, like, what health problems or issues him or his family has. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Like, the difference between a one night stand and him, there's no difference. The only difference is that you know that you're sleeping with him to get pregnant. A one night stand is you have fun. It is what it is. It was what it was, and then you wind up pregnant by a mistake. This is different because you deliberately sleep with him because you're trying to get pregnant, or if you don't sleep with him, you use the what is some kind of syringe or
Turkey.
something to put it up. You know what I'm
Turkey
saying?
baster.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the difference is. If this man is going to be running around all over the world and getting these women pregnant, he needs to be held accountable for something because he's not going about it the legal way.
Right. You're right. When things are legal, there are, what's the word? Legal laws around it or regulations around it, right? Like when you're doing something and you're on the right side of the law, it's regulated and you have to stay within the regulations of the law to stay on the legal side of it. And since what he's doing isn't being regulated, I'm not 100% sure. Just because it hasn't been proven to be illegal yet doesn't mean it won't be at some point. Like, I don't think there's a lot of people out there doing what he's doing, right? I don't think this is a mass issue that the law has had to take on, right? Like, I
Oh
don't think
my
there's a whole bunch
God,
of,
a pineapple.
right? I don't think there's a whole bunch of men out there literally impregnating women all the time on purpose. And then
Pineapple,
like I
they're
don't,
using the turkey based.
yes, the turkey baster.
Yeah, I mean.
Remember on Smothered and You, Me, and Your Ex, you know who used the syringe
Yeah.
or the turkey baster on You, Me, and Your Ex? Like that's, I
Yeah.
didn't even know that worked until I watched
Well,
You, Me, and Your Ex. And I was like,
it
this is crazy, right? And when I heard that he was a donor, I assumed they were using the turkey baster syringe method, right? Because I don't know very many people who will naturally take a donor donation, because I don't want to call it like immoral, but it's really strange because he literally shows up to a foreign country to a person that he has never actually met, and then they sleep together. How awkward is that? No connection, no bond. There's just some random person you've never met. Like, I feel like the talk to strangers thing applies to this. Like, he's a complete stranger, and now you're gonna sleep together. Like, it's just such a weird situation to me.
are putting
And I
his
wait.
sperm in a turkey baster thing, and that's just gross. That is nasty.
The whole thing is weird, right? Like, the whole thing is weird. It's super gross. How often do you think he gets flagged at customs? I do know that he got flagged. What country was that, Dee Dee? He was in some country and he got flagged and they wouldn't let him in. So I do think that other
Can't
countries
remember.
are beginning. Yeah, I can't remember either. It wasn't a super popular country. New Zealand is coming to mind, but that might not be the country. But I think other countries are becoming aware of him. And I think that, you know how when you go and you travel and they have, like, I don't know if it's like not the FBI Most Wanted, but there's like a watch list that people get on. I
Yeah.
think he might be getting on lists
They
because
probably
he said
got
on
a picture
news,
of him
right?
somewhere, like right there at the airport. So whenever they come to him, be like, don't let this man in.
Definitely think so, because there was a video on YouTube of him on a local news station and he said that he got turned away at customs, but he said that he wouldn't admit to them. They kept asking him, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you going to see this woman? And he wouldn't tell them that he was a donor. He said that he wanted to see a woman that he liked, that he was dating. And I think since he was lying to customs, because I think they knew what he was up to, because like you said, I think they have his picture. They have his passport, they know who he is. So I think that since he was lying to them, they wouldn't let him in. And I think that countries are getting hip. That's why I told you, Dee Dee, it might not be illegal yet, but I think that at some point they're gonna regulate what he's doing and he's not gonna land on the right side of the law, because I'm pretty sure he's doing something in this process that's not gonna be kosher when it comes to the law. And I can't figure out what he's doing specifically that's wrong, morally a lot. But like legally, I don't know, but I think they're gonna figure it out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he's eventually going to get in a lot of trouble, 'cause there's no way possible this man can go around the world like he does, and whether he sleeps with them or just donates his sperm, it doesn't matter. He's not doing it the legal way.
Yeah, this whole thing is crazy. This is probably the most disturbing story that we've gotten on the franchise, right? Like, there's a lot. Like, I know Sarper and Shekinah, that was pretty disturbing. Nicole and Mahmoud's gotten a little disturbing. Angela and Michael is disturbing. This is probably, this is the worst one, right? Like, the fact that he's...
We were on for over an hour. I lost track of time. So the conversation was getting good, but that's okay. We're going to wrap this one up and come back next week so we can talk about more of this because there's more episodes. So yeah, I guess we went over our hour. I apologize, guys. I lost track of time. I usually have my timer set. I didn't have my timer set today. So they're now limiting our lives to an hour. So we used to be able to go for a couple of hours, but now they're limiting us. So we're going to
Yeah, but we went over our time tonight, unfortunately. I hate that we only have an hour. Sometimes the conversation gets really good. That's all right, though. When Dee Dee hops back in, we're going to say goodnight to everybody. Thanks for joining. Hey, yeah, so apparently we got booted because we were talking too long.
Wow, I can't believe it was on there an hour already.
I didn't even realize it. I thought we were, like, only pushing a half an hour. The conversation was good tonight, but that's okay. We're going to... watch more episodes. We'll be back next week to discuss it. Thanks for everybody for joining us this week. Thanks to Dee Dee for joining. Hopefully Carr will be back with us. She had to work late again. Everybody, Carr's working really hard. We miss you though, Carr. We can't wait to have you back. But thank you for Dee Dee. Thanks to everybody for staying up late with us. And yeah, you're right. I'm gonna try TikTok. I have to boost my followers. JQuizzy on TikTok. So I can go live, but you're right. TikTok lets you go live a lot longer. So we're gonna look into that. Actually, Facebook too. I could probably do lives on Facebook as well. So we're gonna try to do some of those as well. But thanks guys for joining. This was the MILF Manor Love in Paradise chat. Follow my co-host Dee Dee. She's tagged in this video. And follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, GeorgeMassey.com. Anyway, it's the podcast tag in the George Massey Show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for streaming. And we'll talk to all of you guys really soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.